All right, so we'll say let's begin. So today's daf is Chaf Aleph. I also want to thank Yehuda for giving the shir for the last 2 days. So we're in getting you to Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the two dots. It's impressive. So that's what we're going to pick up from Emir Tzah Hashem this morning. Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, 21a, two dots, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. Well, so we dedicate our learning today as a Refuah Shalima for Rav Moshe Shapira, Rav Moshe Ben Rachel. And in the merit of our Talmud Torah, this Gadol B'Yisrael will have a complete and enduring refuah. Mm-hmm. Right, so let's begin. So the Gemara says the following: V'yesh Tola Gimel Shonim. So remember again, the Mishnah recorded a machlokas, or I should say, the Mishnah recorded a general machlokas. First of all, about whether or not zechus tolela. So is there such a concept that in the event that the woman has some type of zechus, some type of spiritual merit, that lemaisa again? That would delay the effects of the water. Now remember again, it's not going to negate the waters, it could simply delay the effects of the water. So that was one machlokes, and then under that machlokes, even those who hold that zechus tolela, the question is, how long can this particular zechus, how long could this particular merit delay the impact of the water? So the divrei maskil over here is v'yesh zechus tola gimel shanim. So according to some again, there is a particular zechus, a particular merit that can go ahead and delay the impact of the water for 3 years. So the Gemara says, Zuchus demai. What kind of zuchus are we talking about over here? To which the Gemara says, Ilema de zuchus Torah, if you want to say that it's a zuchus that she learned Torah, So we'll say a woman is not obligated to learn Torah. Now this is going to be an extensive discussion we'll have on Amud Beis. But the idea, very simply over here, the Gemara is assuming the Torah says v'shinamtem levneich, and we learn this in Kiddushin. You shall teach your sons v'lo v'noseichem, and there's not an obligation to teach daughters Gemara. Now, both say, now what that means and the extent of that, well, again, the Gemara is going to devote significant time in Amud Beis. For now, suffice it to say that what the Gemara is saying is there's not an obligation for a woman to learn Torah. So if there's not an obligation for her to learn Torah, the Gemara assumes, how could it be that that's the schus that saves her? In other words, a woman has many, many mitzvos. So if you're going to tell me that she has the ability to delay the impact of the water because of some mitzvah that she does, I would have thought that what? That it's a mitzvah she's obligated to do. But to say that it's a mitzvah somehow that she's not obligated to do sounds a bit strange. Elo zechus de mitzvah. Rather, it must be, again, the zechus of just some other mitzvah. We'll say, so mitzvah is a generic statement. It's the zechus of some type of mitzvah that delays the impact of the water. So the Gemara says, Zechus de mitzvah, mi magna kol kulei. Does the zechus of a mitzvah have the ability to protect her from punishment in such an intense fashion? V'hatanya bat wheeler. Ezu darsha, Rabbi Nachman bar Yosi, we'll say, it's a beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Nachman bar Yosi, darshan the following pasuk, kiner mitzvah betorah ar. Literally, again, because mitzvah is like a candle, kiner mitzvah, the candle of a mitzvah, betorah ar. And Torah is light. So says Rabbi Menachem ben Yog bar Yosi, so Tala kosa ves ha-mitzvah ben-er ves ha-torah ba-ar. The Torah compares a mitzvah to a candle and Torah to light. Es ha-mitzvah ben-er lo omar lecha. Why does it compare a mitzvah to a candle? To teach you. Ma ner eino magi... Now, the Mesorah Sashash changes this. From Megina to Meira. Just like an air, just like a candle, only illuminates. Ela lefi sha'a, just for a little bit of time. Af mitzvah eina meira ella lefisha. So we'll say, just like a candle only illuminates for a limited period of time, so to a mitzvah, so to speak, only illuminates, in this case what it means is, protects only for a limited amount of time as well. Ves ha-Torah ba'ar, and why does the pasuk compare Torah to light? Now we'll say, or in this context, is like the luminaries, right? Like the ma'oros ha-gidolim, like the sun and the moon, which are constant sources of light. Ves ha-Torah ba'ar lomer lecha ma'or me'ir li'olam af Torah me'ira li'olam. Just like the luminaries provide eternal light, so too again Torah provides eternal light as well. Now, we'll say, now the reason why the Gemara is bringing this up is because again, at most a mitzvah can only protect her for a very limited amount of time. Omer, furthermore, the pasuk says bis halechacha tancha osach. So we'll say literally again, when you go ahead bis halechacha, when you walk, Tancha osach, it will guide you. So the Gemara says, what is this referring to? Bis halechacha, tancha osach, when you walk, it will guide you. Zeh olam hazeh. This refers to this world. In other words, we'll say here, the Gemara is understanding that this pasuk is a reference ultimately to Torah. That when you go ahead, Torah can be used as an incredible guide to go ahead and lead one in this world. Bishach becha tishmar alecha. When you lay down, it will watch over you. Zumisa. This refers to the fact that the schus of Torah ultimately helps us even after we leave this world, when we die. Vakitzosa hitesichecha. Listen to this. When we wake up, vakitzosa, when we wake up, hitesichecha, it will be our conversation. So what does that refer to? La'asid lavo. This also refers to the future, to messianic era. That even again, our Torah, so you hear what's going on over here? So this, our Torah is so powerful that it helps us in this world. Torah is powerful that it helps us in death. And the Torah is powerful in that it helps us even la'asid lavo tchias hamesim. Incredible idea. Mashal la'adam. So the Gemara, good morning, Mr. Shulman. The Gemara gives a mashal. Mashal la'adam. Shahaya mahalich be'ishra alayah. But listen to how beautiful this is. So there's a mashal to someone who is walking in the darkness of the night. And what happened? Mashal la'adam shay mahalich b'isha layla va'afela. Person's walking mamish pitch black at night. U'misyari min ha'kotsim, u'min ha'pechasim, u'min ha'barnik, barkonim. And we'll say he's afraid of all the thorns and the thistles and the ditches. So he's afraid of all the physical obstacles. And what else? Not only that. U'michayara, he's also afraid of wild animals. U'min ha'listin, and from armed robbers. Ve'inu yodea be'eza derech mahalich. And we'll say to top it all off, what? To top it all off, he's lost, right? So this is not a good night, right? So meaning it's pitch black. He has no idea where he is. So he has to fear again animals, thorn bushes, ditches. And to compound all of that, there's also the issue that he doesn't know where he's going. Fine, so what happens? Nizdamna lo avuka shalabos. This is such a beautiful mashal. If someone gives him a torch, so nitzal min hakotzim u'min hapechasim u'min habarkanim. So we'll say if somebody gives him a torch, so the good news is what? The good news is at least he could see where he's walking. So if he could see where he's walking, there's no concern then about the thorn bushes or about the ditches, but he still has to be concerned about wild animals, and he still has to be concerned that he doesn't know where he's going. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Nizdam nelo avuka shel ar. Kach zochal kayim mitzvah nitzal mimiktzas paranias. So we'll say very beautifully, the Gemara's understanding, the metaphor over here is that the torch represents a mitzvah. So we'll say, so you have to understand something big is so in life, is that most of us are lost. Most of us are lost. What even compounds the fact that we're lost is we don't even realize that we're lost. Meaning that often we think we know where we're going, but we're not really going in the right direction. Or many of us are not even sure exactly where it is that we're going. So the idea over here is, and because we're lost, and often we're lost and enveloped by darkness, there are so many obstacles. So the beautiful thing is the Gemara is saying over here, you do a mitzvah, that mitzvah represents a torch. And that torch illuminates your way. So that torch shows you at least some of the obstacles that are right in front of you. What doesn't the torch do? The torch doesn't save me from wild animals, which we'll discuss what those are. And the torch also doesn't tell me what? Where I am, which direction I should go in. So the metaphor goes on. The mashal goes on. Kevan sha'ala amud ha-shachar, nitzal mechaya ra'a u'min ha-listin. So then once the sun comes up, then Baruch Hashem, I am saved from wild animals and from robbers. Because the Baruch said the assumption is that the animals and the robbers only attack at night. So first of all, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So go back to one Rashi. So the Baruch said, remember again, in the mashal over here, so when I was on the road and somebody gave me a torch, so that torch represents a mitzvah. So I was saved. So what happens? I was saved from some paranoia. I was saved from some negative things because I was able to see the obstacles in my way. Once the dawn comes, so we'll say, so the dawn is so beautiful, represents Torah. So when Torah comes, what happens? When Torah comes, I'm saved from the rest of the challenges, right? I'm saved from the chayos ra'os. I'm saved ultimately again from the wild animals. I'm saved from the listin, from the robbers. So I'm saved ultimately from many of the challenges, plus much of the suffering. But there's one problem. Va'adayin eino yodea be'eza derech mahalich. But I will say, what's the problem? Even once the dawn comes, I'm saved. Even once Torah comes, I'm saved from all the dangers. But I still don't know where I'm going. Hegia leparshas drachim. But I will say, when I reach the crossroads, nitzal mikulam. Ultimately, I'm saved from everything. Take a look at Rashi. What does that mean? Rashi says again, va'adayin eino yodea. So I will say, as much as now the dawn has come, and I'm saved from all the dangers, but I still don't know where I'm going. Shema yikafenu yitzroli batel. The Yashiv Alob Yitzhara Upran. So listen to how profound this is. Even once the dawn comes, even once a person has Torah. So once a person has Torah, I see all the pitfalls. I've already seen the pitfalls, right? Because I already had mitzvos. And I'm saved from the dangers. But what? I'm saved from the dangers now. But it doesn't mean I'm safe from the dangers in the future. Meaning just because I'm safe now, I can easily make the same mistake and easily go ahead and stumble over the same things. Why, Bosai? Because what happens, even though the sun is coming up now, what's going to happen? It will get dark. It will get dark. So for the next, we'll call it 12 hours, it's going to be light. For the next little while, my Torah is instructing me, telling me what to do, and avoiding all difficulties, all challenges, and ultimately all punishments. But it will get dark again. And that's the idea. Even if a person has Torah, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to fall and fail again. So until what happens? Because that's what it means when it says, I don't know where I'm going. I still don't know what pathway my life is going to take. However, once I get to the Parshas Drachim, once I get to the crossroads, then nitzal mikulam. Then I'm saved from everything. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. He gila parshas drachim v'sham hikires darko. Now, I'll say. Now it's interesting when we think about crossroads. So for some reason, I don't know. For me at least, when I think about crossroads, you think about actually indecision, because it sounds like again you're at this intersection, you don't know where to go. From the Gemara's metaphorical perspective, that crossroads means is that now you've reached the end of the road and you know exactly where you are. This whole time I wasn't sure what I was doing. Now that I got to the crossroads, the signage is there. I see where I am. I see I've reached the end of my travels. Rashi says, what does that refer to? Higia leparshas drachim, v'sham hikir es darko. When I get to the end of my travels, the end of the road, I realize where I am. V'afkan higia liyom hamisa. Bosai, reaching the crossroads refers to death. V'lo pirish minatora ad yomoso. And it's only once I get to the crossroads, only once I get to the end of the journey, do I really know that I stayed on the correct path? So again, just to bring this beautiful, magnificent metaphor together, the Gemara says that life is like traveling again on a long, dark road. And there are many challenges. Challenge number one is, again, I don't know where I'm going. Challenge number two is that there are thorn bushes and there are ditches, there are wild animals and there are robbers, all these different challenges. So what happens? If I get a torch represents a mitzvah. Mitzvahs are powerful in that what do? They show me the obstacles in my way. Show me the obstacles. Mitzvahs are instructive. They teach me what to do and what not to do. So I could avoid the ditches, I could avoid the thorn bushes, but I'm still in danger from the robbers, the wild animals, because I could still fall prey to my yetzer, my inclinations, and I still don't know where I'm going. Sun comes up, the dawn, if a person has Torah. So the beauty of Torah is that, again, we've already taken care of all of the obstacles through mitzvahs. Torah takes care of the dangers, the robbers, the wild animals. But again, I still don't know where I'm going. In other words, that even with Torah, can I be absolutely sure that I'm always going to live on the straight and narrow? And the answer is no. Until finally that day comes that I reach the end of the road, I reach the intersection, and then I know that I've traveled the right path, and I know that that right path is locked in for me. When do I reach that day? When I go ahead and I reach the intersection, that's death. Or as the Gemara says, it's only when we leave this world that we can be sure that we're not going to veer off the right path. But as long as that journey is continuing, no matter how many mitzvos you have, no matter how much Torah you have, there's always the possibility that chas v'shalom person may choose the wrong derech. Davar acher, aveira mechabe mitzvah, vein aveira mechabe Torah. Another possibility is, an aveira goes ahead and can extinguish a mitzvah, but an aveira can't extinguish the Torah you learn. We'll say, it's an incredible, this is not even like a plug for the shir. This is just a plug for any Talmud Torah. We'll say, you hear this? An aveira could extinguish a mitzvah, an aveira can't extinguish your Torah. So the Shnei Amar, Mayim, this is so beautiful, Mayim Rabim lo yuchlu lechabos es ha'ava. Also, do you hear how beautiful this is? Even great waters, strong waters, cannot extinguish love. And Abba Say says Rashi, what does love refer to? Lechabos es ha'ava zu Torah. I'll say, isn't that incredible? That Torah is the greatest love. Torah is our expression of love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really His expression of love towards us, His giving it to us, and us learning it is our expression of love towards Him. Amar Rabbi Yosef, mitzvah be'idna da'asik ba, migno matzla. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yosef has another interesting idea. Rabbi Yosef says that a mitzvah, at the time that you are engaged in it, migna means like magain. It protects you. It protects you from punishment. Umatzla, and it saves you from the Yetzer Hara. However, but if you're not engaged in the mitzvah, meaning if I've done the mitzvah already, but I'm not currently engaged, then agune migna, it could save me from punishment, but atzule lo matzla, but it does not save me from my Yetzer Hara. On the other hand, Torah, bein be'inna da asikba, bein be'inna da lo asikba, but Torah, whether you are currently engaged in it or not, migna umatzla, has the ability to what? Has the ability to save you from suffering and also to protect you from falling prey to your yetzara. We'll say incredible. Incredible, right? Torah, whether you're learning it or not, has the ability to protect you from suffering and has the ability to protect you from falling prey to your yetzara. So the Gemara says, really? Maskifla, Rabba, Rabba raised the kasha. But so Rabbi brings an example of two great men who learned a lot of Torah but did really bad stuff. So remember again, Doeg was one of Shaul's chief advisors who pretty much incited the king against David. Achitophel was one of the advisors of David who went ahead and sided with Avshalom. So ask Rabbi, I don't understand. These are the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of their generations. They learned a lot of Torah, and you see the Torah did not protect them from doing bad things. Ela Amar Rava, Torah be'ibna da'asik ba, migna umatzla. Rather, Rava said, Torah, when you are learning it, migna umatzla, has the ability to protect one from suffering, and has the ability to go ahead and prevent one from falling prey to the Yitzhahara. However, be'inna delo asikba, but when you're not learning it, aguni migno, it has the ability to protect you from punishment, atzule lo matzla, but it does not go ahead and save you, from your Yitzhahara. So the Gemara goes by to mitzvah, however, on the other hand, gotta have that talk with him, right? On the other hand, mitzvah, bein be'idna da'asik bei, bein be'idna de'lo asik bei, aguni migna atzuli lo matzla. So also here the Gemara wants to make a distinction that between Torah and mitzvos. So Torah, when you're learning it, has the ability to protect you from punishment and has the ability to also go ahead and save you from the Yetzirah. When you're not learning it, it has the ability to protect you from punishment, but not from your Yetzirah. Mitzvos, on the other hand, never protect you from your Yetzirah. Whether you're doing it or you're not doing it, the most that mitzvos do is what? Protect you ultimately from punishment. Ravina Amar. So remember why we're into this whole discussion here. We're into this whole discussion because the Mishnah told us that the Sota, if she has a mitzvah, so her mitzvah is able to go ahead and delay the impact of the water. We're trying to figure out what mitzvah we're talking about. So we wanted to suggest that it was the mitzvah of Torah. The Gemara discounted that at first because, again, a woman doesn't have an obligation to learn. So then we figured, you know what, it doesn't have to be a specific mitzvah. It could be any mitzvah. To which now the Gemara comes full circle. Ravina Amar, the Olam Zichus Torah. No, let's go back to where we started. Which mitzvah is it that goes ahead and protects her or delays the impact of the Sota waters? So really, it's Zichus Torah. It's the Zichus ultimately of Torah. The Gemara says, but one second. V'dika amrit eina mitzvah va'osa. But you said before that a woman is not obligated to learn Torah. But say, you see, what the Gemara is saying over here is, just it seems illogical. You want to tell me that it's a mitzvah that she's obligated to do, and it's that mitzvah ultimately that protects her. I understand that. But to say that it's a mitzvah that she's not even obligated to engage in the first place, that's the mitzvah that delays the impact of the waters, just sounds strange. So the Gemara says, which we said before, that how could it be Zichus Torah? Because she's not in Silva, also she's not commanded to learn. So listen to what the Gemara says. Nehi de pekude lo mifkida, even though she's not obligated. Be'igra de makrin umas nion benayu. So we'll say in the Zichus that she goes ahead, de makrin umas nion benayu. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Demakron is the second line. Demakrion umasnion shetarchos al b'nehen. That a woman goes ahead and literally extends herself for her children. Lahavion lebeis hasefer, to bring them to school. Likro mikra velishnos mishnah. Subos, an amazing answer. The Gemara says, in the zuchus of a mesiras nefesh, of a mother, who goes ahead and ensures that her children go to school, who ensures that her children learn, in that incredible zuchus again, that delays the impact of the water. He goes on, furthermore, again, And also in the zchus of the fact that she waits for her husband to come home from the Beis Medrash. Now this, of course, could just simply be referring to the idea that a woman is willing to give up time with her husband in order to allow her husband to learn. Rashi goes in and takes a step further. Rashi says, she waits for her husband, often if he goes out to another city, to learn Torah. So therefore, what Ravina is saying is like this. You thought that the zechus Torah that we were referring to was her own zechus Talmud Torah. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't have to be it. I mean, it could be it. But Ravina also says that there's another zechus that a woman has that a man does not, which is that she's an enabler. That she's an enabler for the growth of others. She's an enabler, ultimately, again, for the growth of her family. That without her, her children will not accomplish. Without her, her children will not learn. Without her support, her husbands will not be able to learn either. So it could be her Torah, but even more. Well, so you know, there's a beautiful Nitziv, just very quickly, because we have absolutely no time. But the Nitziv says very beautifully, the Nitziv says, Achash Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu that his descendants are going to be, right, ke'afar, like the dust, like the dust of the earth, and like the stars of the sky. So the Nitziv asks a very simple question. This must have bothered all of us. What's the simple question? Lo haya v'lo yiyah. It's not true. Meaning, we, Klal Yisrael, we have never been that numerous, nor is it our destiny to be that numerous. So the Nitziv says something amazing. The Nitziv says, because we make a mistake, we think that Avraham Avinu only influenced us. It's not true. Avraham Avinu influenced all of humanity. And in fact, again, interesting, the Nitziv says that so much of the spirituality that's in this world, even though it manifests itself in different types of religions, ultimately is the impact of Avraham Avinu. And as such, says the Nitziv, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky, we'll say, Avraham Avinu, lav dafka, your biological descendants. But you enabled spiritual growth in this world. And I will say, when you become an enabler of someone else's growth, ein zechus gedola mizok. Sometimes it is the greatest privilege in life. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that lemaisa, this is the zechus that a woman has that could delay the impact of the waters. That she is the enabler of her children, she is the enabler of her husband. So the Gemara says, because she's this enabler, milo pagan ba'adayu, does she not have the right to split the schar with her family? So the Gemara jumps back for just a second. My parshas drachim. So we'll say, remember again in the mashal we said before, the Gemara spoke about reaching the crossroads. So what are the crossroads? This refers to a Talmid Chacham and the day of his death. Rashi says over here, V'yom HaMisa. So first of all, again, Rashi points out, actually, look at my parshas drachim. Mahu medame lahagia leparshas drachim. Toha avuka hainu mitzvah. Amuda shachra hainu Torah. So also, we know in the mashal that we said before, the torch was a mitzvah, the dawn was Torah. What were the crossroads supposed to represent? So the Gemara says, Rashi says, V'utamit chacham, b'yom HaMisa, v'yedesh l'perish lifrok me'alav al Torah. This is an incredible idea. When does a Talmud Chacham, when does a true Torah scholar believe in himself? Only one day, and that's the day that he dies. Because every other day before that, no matter how much I've accomplished, no matter how much I've done, there's always the strong possibility that I will mess up. As such, never believe in yourself too much that you are beyond anything. Therefore, l'maisa, again, the Parshas Terachim, ultimately the crossroads, that's Yom HaMisa. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says this refers to a Talmud Chacham and ultimately his fear of sin. Look at Rashi. Zocha li yiras chet achar shezocha the Torah nitzal mikulon. So we'll say, so the way Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak understands it, he says, Avuka, the torch is a mitzvah. The dawn is Torah. And what's the crossroads? Meaning, what's the culmination of all of this? Yiras chet. Which Shabbos is quite amazing, because what did we just learn about at 5:45 this morning? Yiras chet. This is exactly what Ramchal is talking about, right? The Gemara is saying that the ultimate thing we strive for is yiras chet, is a certain reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what prevents us from making terrible mistakes. Marzucha Amar Zet Hamut Chacham Tesalka This is incredible. Marzuchi says, what are the crossroads? Crossroads is a Talmud Chacham who knows halacha lemaisa. The torch, right, of mitzvos is great. And the dawn of Torah is incredible. But if you don't know what to do in your Judaism, then it's inevitable that what? That I'm going to make mistakes. So therefore, both say it's not just enough to learn, and it's not just enough to do mitzvos. Person has to know halacha lemaisa. Person has to know what to do in life in order to be a proper Jew. Davar acher, avera mechab mitzvah vein avera mechab Torah. Another possibility, like we said before, is that an avera has the ability to extinguish a mitzvah, but an avera does not have the ability to extinguish Torah. Both say, listen to how beautiful this is. I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Darshi Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosef the High Kraki Sinai. Well, so listen to this compliment. Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosef. Listen to how beautiful this is. Listen to this compliment. Rabbi Yosef says that Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosef, he darshed the following pasuk, just like God expounded it at Har Sinai. What is V'Omale Darshua Doig V'Achitofa Hachi Loratfu Basar David, and had Doig and Achitofa, the two guys, the two individuals we mentioned before, had they interpreted it incorrectly, they would not have pursued David HaMelech so relentlessly. Dechsev Leimor Elokim Azavu. The pasuk says in Tehillim Leimor Elokim Azavu. They say that he has forsaken God. Maidrosh. So we'll say, remember again, David HaMelech over here is speaking about the idea that throughout his life, really throughout his life, he was pursued by people who claimed that he was a sinner. He had forsaken God. So Maidrosh, what did Doeg Achitofel and many others, what did they claim about David HaMelech? V'lo yirah b'cha ervas davar. The pasuk says that, again, you may not have any matter of immorality. There should be no matter of immorality seen about you. Rabbi saying, now here, they're making reference to the episode of Bathsheba. And they claim that David HaMelech was an adulterer, David HaMelech was immoral, and therefore, because he was immoral, God left him. V'hein einan yodim, and they did not realize, sha'avira mechabe mitzvah, v'ein avira mechabe Torah. Rabbi say, even if David HaMelech did something wrong, even if David HaMelech did something wrong, and avira could go ahead and extinguish mitzvos, but David HaMelech had Zuchus Torah, had the merit of Torah. And an Aveda can never extinguish the Torah that you learned. My boz yavozu. So we'll say, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Now, the rest of this, the whole pasuk is, im yitein ish es kol, it's not the whole pasuk, but the part we're focusing on, im yitein ish es kol hon beso bi'ava, boz yavozu lo. Even if a person will want to give all the treasures of his home away in love, boz yavozu lo, they will heap scorn upon him. What does this refer to? We'll say, this is amazing. Amr Ula, Lo Kishimon Achi Azaria, Velo Krab Yochanan de Benesia, Ella Kehilal Vishavna. So we'll say this does not refer to Shimon, the son of Azaria, the brother of Azaria, excuse me, and not Rabbi Yochanan and the Benesia, rather like Hillel and Shavna. Now, what does this mean? So these are all examples. Now, interestingly enough, Rashi points out over here that Shimon was the brother of Azaria. Shimon was a Tana, and his brother Azariah went out to work, was a successful businessman, and he supported his brother in learning. Similarly, again, Rabbi Yochanan was supported by the house of the Nasi to learn. So these two are good individuals of synergistic partnerships, but not like Hillel and Shavna. Hillel and Shavna were brothers. What happened with Hillel and Shavna? So listen to this. Hillel and Shavna were brothers. Hillel asik betorah. Shavna Ovid Iska. So we'll say what happens. So Hillel went to learn Torah, and Shavna went out to business. I will say, now there's an important piece of this narrative. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Hillel Asik B'Torah, Mitoch Oni Rav. Hillel was destitute. I will say, you understand, Hillel was from a very prominent Babylonian family. And Hillel decided he was going to Eretz Yisrael to go ahead and learn from Shemai Naftalion. Hillel's family cut him off. They cut him off. They both say, these were observant Jews also, but they didn't want him going to learn. They wanted him to go into the family business. They said, if you leave Bavel, you're cut off. Hillel said, okay. So Hillel lives in abject poverty. We know the famous mice of Hillel on the sky that can't get into the base manager. She almost freezes to death. That's Hillel. So we'll also listen to this. So Avadis, Galasov, Amarle, Ta, Naro, Veliflog. So we'll say, so what happens after Hillel becomes Hillel? So his brother Shavna comes along and says, hey, I have a proposition for you. Let me support you. You know, you're still, even after he was great, I mean, once he became head of the Jewish people, there was prominence and wealth that came with that. But before that, when he became a real Talmud Chacham, his brother comes back and says, you know what, let's make a deal over here. Let's make a partnership. You learn, I'll support you, and we'll split the schar. Before Hillel could even answer, Yotzes Abbas Kol V'Amra, a voice from heaven came out and said, even if a person will be willing to give all of the wealth of his home, boz yavozu lo. Let scorn be heaped upon. In other words, too late. Too late. It's very nice that you want to support a winner. Everybody wants to support a winner. But you know what? When your brother needed your help, when he asked for your help, you were not there. So now you want to come in after he's the great Hillel. Sorry, that's not ultimately, again, how it works. An incredible idea. Amar Beis. Amar Ben Azai. Chayiv Adam Lelamid Esbitos. Amar Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Kolam Lelamid Esbitos. Torah Melam Detifa. So we'll say, now we're going to come to a very interesting sugya. So remember again, going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah itself said, after we established that Zechus Tolala, so after we established ultimately again that a merit has the ability to delay the impact of the waters, so remember again, as a result of that, so therefore Ben Azai said, Chayiv Adam Lelamed Esbito Torah, Shem Tishta Teide Shaschus Tolala. Now here's what's interesting. So Ben Azai said, therefore a person should teach his daughter Torah, so in order that what? In order that she should realize that if she drinks the water and has a delayed reaction, that it's a schos. Now, I want to be clear. Ben Azai is not saying that a man should teach his daughter Torah so that the schos of Torah should delay the impact of the water. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is a man should teach his daughter Torah so that she understands that if chas v'shalom she is a sota, let's say she really did commit adultery, and the waters do not work, that it's not a flaw in the Torah, rather it's just that she has some kind of schos, which is very important. So we'll say, what Ben Azai essentially is saying is, a man has to make sure that his daughter is educated in Torah. She has to understand that she understands the dynamics of Torah. However, again, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol ha-melamed bito Torah, kilu lomda tiflus. Whoever teaches his daughter Torah, it's as if he is teaching her tiflus. So also remember, the literal definition of tiflus, at least according to Rashi and others, is intimacy. Tiflus. All right, so it says the Gemara, Tiflus Sakadaitro. What does that mean? So back to the Gemara. So could it possibly mean that it's like he's teaching her Tiflus? So the Gemara is looking at Rashi. Rashi says, Dechi Torah, Tiflus Karla, how can you call it Torah? So how, meaning even if she doesn't have an obligation to learn Torah, how can you say teaching it to her is like teaching her like Tiflus? I will say, you know, also, sometimes in Aramaic, Tuf and Tes could also go ahead and be interchangeable. So ultimately, again, a lashon of Tufal as well, secondary things, how could it be? Ela'imo, Ki'ilu limda tiflos. Rather, what it means is it's as if he taught her intimacy. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ki'ilu shemitocha himavina armomis. Armomis va'ose divareha batsneya. In other words, what we seem to be concerned about over here is that if she understands the intricacies of Torah, she can learn how to manipulate the system, and therefore, again, she could go ahead and cover up inappropriate behavior by manipulating the technical details of the system. Amar Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo says, my time is Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? The chsiv, ani, who's quoting over here from the pasuk from Mishlei, ani chachma shachanti arma. I, wisdom, shachanti arma. Literally, dwell among arma. Now, both say, Arma is a lashon of conniving or cunning. So the Gemara says, "Kevan shenichnas chachma ba'adam." Once chachma enters into man, nichnasa imo armomius. So a sense of cunning enters into him as well. Well, so just to give you, you know, an interesting just display. We all encounter this. We see this all the time. But what happens? A person learns something, and then it's amazing how people take one little nugget of information that they learned and apply it in all different kinds of ways that are absolutely incorrect, thinking that this one little nugget of information, suddenly they've mastered the intricacies of Torah and are paskining halacha just based on one little piece of information in the abstract. Ma'asim b'chol yom. It happens. It happens all the time. So the Gemara is saying over here, with wisdom comes a certain empowerment, and with that empowerment comes a certain sense of conniving or cunning for an yitzhahara, ultimately for manipulation. The Rabbanon. So what do the Rabbanon say? So also remember again, so this is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Now if you notice again, Rabbi Eliezer is a lone voice in the Mishnah, right? The Tanakhama disagrees, Ben Azai disagrees, everyone else disagrees. So Rabbi Eliezer seems to say that you can't teach your daughter Torah, because if you teach her Torah, if you teach her wisdom, ultimately you're teaching her to be conniving, and she'll manipulate Sota, she can manipulate other things. Okay, what the Rabbanon disagree with this, and what did the Rabbanon, how do they dash in this pasuk? Rabbanon, hi ani chachma mai avdilei, What do they do with this pasuk of Ani Chachma? So they need it for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Ein divrei Torah miskaimin ela b'mi shema'amid atzmo orum. So we'll say, you know how they understand it? They understand it, I will say, as the words of Torah are only upheld in someone, literally, ma'amid atzmo orum, literally someone who's willing to stand naked. Now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Shema'amid atzmo orum aleha. Excuse me, let me finish actually the pasuk. Alein shenemar, ani chachma, shachanti arma. They're translating it literally. I chachma will dwell within someone who is arum, who is naked. Look at Rashi. Shema'amid atzmo arum aleha, shepirish mikol asakim, v'na'ase aleha ani v'chaser. Literally a person who's willing to distance himself from all material things and becomes literally poor and deficient. So listen to this. So again, remember, the way the Maharshalas interpret this doesn't mean a person has to be destitute. But say it means, the truth is, in life, a person really could only, it's like Maslow has his hierarchy of needs, and he dafka made it a pyramid. Why is it a pyramid? Because there could only be one thing on top. One thing. So let's say, what the Gemara is saying over here is, the only way to ultimately be a Chacham, when we tell you a Talmud Chacham is, the top of your pyramid is Torah and spirituality. If the top of your pyramid is material wealth, right, and the next thing under is spirituality, then Lamaisa, you could become spiritually great, but you'll never be a Chacham. You'll never be a Chacham. That Torah is only nicknamed by someone who their primary aspiration and goal in life is spirituality. Well, this is an incredible thing because people think, in life it's important, so you can't have it both ways. The pyramid doesn't have two stones on top. The pyramid only has one. And what you choose to put on the top of that pyramid is a very important life decision. So if it's money and if it's material success, that's one's prerogative. But just understand, then you are capping your spirituality. If it's your spirituality, and I want to be clear, could a person be materially successful as well and still be a spiritual person? Of course. Rabbi said, we know that there are moments in life where I have to choose between my ruchnius and my gashmius. So if the top of my period is gashmius, my gashmius is always going to win out over my ruchnius. If the top of my pyramid is ruchnius, then at the end of the day, when there's a challenge, ruchnius will always win out. And that's the Gemara saying over here. At the end of the day, what's at the top of my pyramid? So ein chachma niknis ela b'misha arum aleha. Only someone who's willing at the end of the day to divest himself of everything else, who's willing when those two things conflict, when they butt heads, my materialism and my spirituality, when they butt heads, I'm willing to go with my spirituality, that's a person who will be successful. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ein divrei Torah niknin, miskaimin, excuse me, ela b'misha meisim atzmo k'misha eino. Furthermore, again, Torah is only acquired by someone who is willing to make himself humble, k'misha eino. Shene emar, because the pasuk says va'chachma me'ayin timsa. The chachma can only be found in Rabbosai in someone who's in ayin, someone who's in ayin, somebody who humbles. Rabbosai, if a person is arrogant, if a person is egocentric, a person can't acquire one little bit of Torah. Arrogance and egocentricity are the fundamental polar opposite of spirituality. So only if a person humbles themselves, ultimately do they have the ability to learn Torah. But so let's just do a little bit. Vayter Rabbi Yoshua Omer. Now I just want to point out, just because again, I have to, at some point in time, we have to find a way to come back to, I just don't know when to do it, but we have to come back and find a way to speak about this woman in Talmud Torah thing. Because this is it, because obviously, also I just want to point out, you should know, the Shulchan Aruch codifies the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. That ultimately, again, kamalamid bitazor kilo malam de tiflus, and ultimately, again, Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin about that a person should be vigilant and should be careful about what they teach girls. Now, listen, I want to be clear on something, but I want to show you just. There's a divide. There's a beautiful sefer called Community Covenant and Commitment. It's a selection of letters from Rav Soloveitchik, from Soloveitchik to others. So I just want to give you just the other extreme of this and figure out how to bridge that gap. Not this morning, but listen to this. This is the background to this that I'll read to you. On January 12, 1953, Rabbi Leonard Rosenfeld, a former student of the Rav and chairman of the Education Committee of the Hebrew Institute of Long Island, director of the Department of Yeshivas, New York Board of Jewish Education, wrote to the Rav with a series of questions. Now, he asks, these are the questions. Is it permissible to teach Torah to Shabbat Pet to girls? Is it advisable to teach Torah Shabbat Peh to girls? Is there a halachic distinction between teaching Gemara, Mishnah, Agadah, and Halacha Psuka? Is it permissible and advisable when the girls reach the age of 16 to 18 to continue to study Talmud with them in the same depth and profundity that one engages in such studies with boys? So this is the question they were asking the Rav. Essentially, again, we know the Gemara. Again, I didn't show you the Shulchan Aruch. But again, so Lemaisa, what do we do? So I have to tell you something amazing. First of all, so the Rav gets this letter. This letter was written on January 12, 1953. The Rav responds 10 days later. First of all, for us, the notion of letter writing, mamish, like whoever heard of such a thing like this. So look at the Rav says, I acknowledge the receipt of your letter. So you ready to this? He says, in my answer to your previous inquiry concerning the permissibility of instruction of girls in Talmud, I stress, you ready for this? I stressed that unless I am assured in advance by the school administration that my recommendations will be followed, I will not take the trouble to investigate the matter. So Kudarov says, if you're shopping around, I'm not interested in getting involved in this. If I'm going to give you an answer, and you're going to, this is amazing. Listen, this is an incredible. You saw the Rav was a very wise man. The Rav was someone who got caught up a lot of times, not by choice, in the whirlwind of communal issues, because people exploit it. To this day, people exploit the rulings of the Rav. He says, if you're asking me like an academic question, no interest. If you're asking me for my psak halacha, I'm happy to get into it. He says, listen to this. Since such an official assurance has been withheld, you have not told me whether you are abiding by my decision or not, I must decline to consider the problem. He says, I'm not answering your question. He says, I'm just telling you this quickly.
Yes, not enough time. All right. The reason for my reluctance to engage in this controversial issue is the unique stand taken by many of our Jews on matters of law and tradition. We have reached the stage, look what he writes, at which party lines and political ideologies influence our halachic thinking to the extent that people cannot rise above partisan issues to the level of halachic objectivity. Some are in a perennial quest for liberalization of the law and its subordination to the majority opinion of a political legislative body, while others would like to see the halacha fossilized and completely shut out of life. I am not inclined to give any of these factions an opportunity for nonsensical debates. Sincerely yours, Joseph Soloveitchik. Right? So, first of all, the Rav says, again, I know what's going to happen over here. There are those who want to liberalize everything, so they're going to take, oh, the Rav said this. And there are those who want absolutely no change. They're going to say, the Rav said this. The Rav says, I know whatever I say, I'm going to upset someone. I'm willing to upset someone if what I'm going to say is going to be listened to. So I'll just tell you this. I'll just give you this teaser. So then they responded back to the Rav, we're willing to listen to you, which, by the way, they didn't, right? This is one of the reasons the Rav got burnt many times in communal issues, because he always put this assurance out, but whatever it is. So Rabbi Soloveitchik goes ahead and responds. He says the following. I'm just going to read to you one line. He says, he responds back, please accept my apologies for not answering your letter sooner. The delay was due to my overcrowded schedule. As to your question with regard to curriculum for grades, I expressed my opinion to you long ago that it would be very regrettable oversight on our part if we were to arrange separate Hebrew courses for girls. In other words, what the Rav said was, I don't think that we should go ahead and just simply marginalize girls' education. Not only, look what the Rav says, not only is the teaching of Torah Shabbat Peh to girls permissible, but it is nowadays an absolute imperative. The Rav goes on, he says, if we don't, it could greatly contribute to a deterioration and downfall of traditional Judaism. I hope to prepare in the near future a halachic brief on the same problem. So the Rav here advances something amazing, which is that not only is it contemporarily permissible to teach girls Torah Shabbat Peh, now what that means, we'll have to discuss, but the Rav says it's absolutely necessary given the times in which we live. And I will say, I'm only giving you a very small picture, lest you think it's just the Rav. I also will have to find time, maybe Thanksgiving morning, I was thinking about we could do this sugya together if everybody has a little bit extra time. So there's another incredible tshuva by Rav Zalman Suratskin. Rav Suratskin was the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, who also has an incredible tshuva about girls learning Torah Shabbat Pet today. So now I'm just giving you the polls. So on one hand, you have Rabbi Eliezer, who says, but on the other hand, he says, the Rav ultimately, who says that perhaps it's an imperative today. Now, I want to be clear to you. Rav Soloveitchik, as you know, believed in the Shulchan Aruch and lived his life by the Shulchan Aruch. So the question, of course, becomes how the Rav bridge this gap, which we'll see. I just want to end off with one word. Sometimes when people see these Gemaras, so you hear Rabbi Lazar's statement, so like, you know, people get like a little smirk, like, rabbis, outdated rabbis. This is Torah HaKedosha. Rabbi Eliezer had more Kedusha in his pinky toenail than we have in our entire bodies. And he spent his life in the quest of Torah. We live in a society where often we think we know more than everyone else. And we think that this represents an archaic, outdated, misogynistic rabbinic view and all the different things. It could be that contemporarily, we don't hold of this. It could be that contemporarily we don't adopt the position of Rabbi Eliezer and we adopt the position of others. But it's so important when approaching Torah that even opinions that we don't agree with, we hold them in esteem and we understand where they come from. Because Rabbi Eliezer was a great man, was someone who's part of our Mesorah. And as such, even if we don't accept the decision, Lemaisa, we have to be careful of injecting our own narrative into those words and being dismissive of them. So also, I have to stop over here. We didn't get nearly as far in the Gemara as we needed to. But we'll pick up here, Amir Yitzhak Hashem, tomorrow. And again, I think either maybe Sunday morning or Thanksgiving morning, I'll give you a little bit of a share on this women's Talmud Torah issue. All right, Shkoya. I know, I should do that.